I chose this topic quite a few weeks ago, and I kept trying to remember what are the three phases of mindfulness. I think that mindfulness has many phases, I picked out those three because they're primary. But all of you are probably good at cooking, or moderately know how to put together a bit of food. And what you usually do is you use the ingredients that are available. So I think that's a very important principle in practicing meditation and in bringing awareness to the foreground, letting go of the world. So there are many ways that we can talk about the phases of mindfulness. These are just suggestions. I guess maybe I should reel back a little bit and ask, is there anybody here who doesn't know much about mindfulness? It's pretty mainstream nowadays. One thing that is very important to remember is the quality of virtue. It's a kind of bottom line for a practice of focusing and purifying the mind. So, I guess I should also ask, is there anyone here who is not familiar with meditation? Right. What does that word mean to you? Well, there you go. You must know something about it then. Yeah. So this is a... Did everyone hear what she said? Still your mind and be with yourself. So here we are aiming to still our minds and be together. But the paradox of our togetherness is that because we're not interacting, speaking, conversing, want to stop and listen, pay attention to that voice for the purpose of not listening to it in the day-to-day way that we do, but listening to it in a new way, a way of letting go our opinions, even letting go the commentary. It's kind of let that become background noise or white noise. If it's loud, you can listen to it as if it were just traffic. You're not in your car, you're not stuck in the traffic. So you're not stuck in your thoughts. You're not in the ordinary world vehicle. You're in a vehicle of trying to still the mind and be with your own experience. So this is where mindfulness can be a great ally. And it actually the word ally is used in combat. But I think the Buddha was very wise to describe those that work in meditative ways and try to still the mind. He'll use the word warrior. This is combat. But that might seem ironic because, wait a minute, I believe in peace. Yes, but for peace to exist, for peace to be established within us, we have to enter into combat and win back the borders of our hearts. So at first it might feel a bit like a war zone. But we're doing this in a gentle way, and we're not trying to commit suicide or kill anyone else. Although sometimes it might feel violent. You might feel many shades of unease, dis-ease, unhappiness, upset, anger, or even more disturbing states than that. And so what we're really trying to kill or have a victory over is the unwholesome streams and flows within the mind, the floods of unwholesomeness that are rooted deep within us, and we want to uproot them. And we do that by being willing to go to the front. It's just like in a battle, you go to the front and you pick up the armor that you need to use to engage in this battle. Now these, I don't usually speak in these ways, but so don't get scared. This is not a frightening thing, and it's not something to be feared. Those terms might seem pretty stark, but we are soldiers of peace, and we're maybe a kinder word to use is ambassadors for peace. But the message that we're delivering is an internal one. And the disarmament that we're engaging in is an internal one. And we have to recognize how really unbalanced we are and how much aggression we carry within us. And by seeing our own aggression in its true light, then we end up, the combat is really just to disarm ourselves. And it takes an effort that is more than we would think somebody trying to establish peace need apply. So that this is the very first aspect of the battle, is that we want to basically kill anger. But we're going to do it in a way that is compassionate. We're basically going to let anger die. Rather than being a perpetrator of violence, we're going to do this act of letting the things that are unwholesome die within us. So that's a kind of reverse way of killing. It's not feeding the things that harm us, not feeding the unwholesomeness within us. It makes me think of that we were talking about drought. Here you have, I've been told that it's not such a rainy climate as Vancouver, but coming into this beautiful park, it looks so lush. And in the area where I live, there is no such lushness. And things are on a very precarious slope of heading towards drought. We're always watching the skies and wondering if the rains are going to continue. So in the work of mindfulness and the purification through the Dhamma, through this teaching, we are really the rain that we want to bring forth in ourselves. And what we want to bring to this forefront of the battle is a rain of goodness, a rain of blessing. But when it rains, things grow, everything grows. But we're trying to bring a rain of goodness. It's a very specific kind of rain. And that is the opposite of drought. You could use the metaphor differently. You could say, we're going to make sure that the unwholesome streams and unwholesome energies within us dry up and die. And when that happens, what will emerge from the drought of unskillful words, acts, and speech are energies that are pure. In fact, we will learn to come to a place where we can empty out completely so that we're not expecting anything. This might seem a little scary, but really it's a way of dying to the world so that the truth within us can emerge. So I'm planting a few little seeds in there that you can contemplate. And in terms of stilling the mind, we start by establishing our minds on one object. This is a very useful way of doing it. And mindfulness of one object is really like aiming. You're on a journey and you're heading in a particular direction, so you want to aim and focus. We were talking about sailing across the Atlantic Ocean and taking measurements using a sextant, using the sun and the horizon, and trying to establish where are we. So the very first thing we do when we're establishing mindfulness is we examine where is this object we want to focus on. If it's the breath, it's a little more subtle. So you could, just sitting in your chair, you could try to establish where is your attention right now? Where is the body? Can you find your body? Certainly. Everybody, look for your body. It's so obvious. So we choose a body. And the first body we think of is this one. We don't focus on other bodies. But then within this body, when we try to refine mindfulness more and more, we'll be looking for an object that we can sustain attention on, such as your facial area, torso, or scanning the body from point to point. So there's different ways of establishing mindfulness. The breath is a very useful, neutral, and dynamic object. So if you can practice establishing your mindfulness, your attention on your breath, this requires a certain amount of effort. And it has to be continuous, and it's very important for it to be regular, not gushing with attention and then getting distracted. And once we can do that for one moment, then we have one moment of practice. And then we move from that moment to the next moment, and we collect them. We collect the moments and string them together through a continuity of attention. So right now you're sitting and listening, but you still haven't completely settled down, so you might be thinking, what's next? What's going to happen after she finishes talking? And or what is the rest of the program? So maybe I should, to help still the mental formations, because continuity of attention, we will practice that sitting quietly without thinking and without listening to a talk, just being with our own experience. So I'll give a little bit of instruction, and then we'll spend some time sitting and meditating together. And I can lead you through a few moments of introductory practice so that you can try to string these moments of attention successfully together. But you all know, you already know how to do this. Is there anyone here who doesn't drive a car? Or doesn't know how to drive a car? So when you drive, you have to keep your hands on the steering wheel and you have to pay attention continuously. If you look at your cell phone or try to answer a text message, you'll get a ticket or something. Or you might run off the road. So the continuity of attention is just as important when you drive your practice vehicle, which is the paying attention to your object, the body, the breath, your scanning, your the sound of silence, whatever your particular focus is, hearing, smelling, tasting, or contemplating, contemplative, like contemplating the qualities of the Buddha, or death contemplation. These are all areas that we can meditate on. So we will also have periods of walking meditation. Is there anyone here who's never done walking meditation? A long time ago, aha! So you have meditated. I thought so. All of us are not new to meditation, really. But we might be new to a formal meditation. It's just applying skills that we've already developed to today, to this particular situation. So we'll be alternating sitting and walking, and there'll be an eating meditation. I'm sure you all know how to meditate on food, but there might be some suggestions of how to do that skillfully, rather than just grabbing the item to be consumed and stuffing it in our mouths. And we do this. I see people walking down the street eating, but it would be very difficult for them to eat mindfully and walk mindfully. This practice of mindfulness requires the opposite of multitasking. What would that be? Monotasking? Single, the single thread, a single task, doing only one thing at a time. And here it's going to be in the sitting posture. We'll also do standing meditation, we'll do walking meditation and eating meditation, but we will not do any of those together. We won't stand and eat. Well, you will sit and eat, but you'll be focusing on eating. Here we're focusing on sitting posture and lying down posture. So I think where's the clock here? Why don't we, instead of me describing, why don't we just jump right in? And I'm also going to ask you to, I've got some water here and I'm going to sip on it from time to time. But if you're really not thirsty, please don't be sipping your water bottle, especially when you're meditating. But just in general, take a drink and stop. Just like you're coming into the hall, we've left the world out there. But if you are sick or you have take some medicine that dries you out badly, then of course, be compassionate and take a little sip. But the world nowadays is, and we were never, when I was in Burma 30 years ago, we never had water bottles at our sides. Times have changed. So find a comfortable posture. And if you're wearing glasses, you might want to take them off. And bring your attention to your body, the sitting posture. Establish a balance so that you can sustain this particular posture for a period of half an hour, 40 minutes. And lightly close your eyes. If you're from a different tradition, and you keep your eyes open, that's okay. But try to cast your glance down towards the floor. Don't be looking around. Wipe the sleep out of your eyes. That's an old expression, but wipe the world out of your heart. Just like you would, if you're a teacher or presenting information to a group and you have a whiteboard, you start with a clean whiteboard. So we sit down cleaning our whiteboard so that this moment that we're attending to is, it's a pure space. Don't bring the world into the space with you. It will emerge, but don't start off with a board that's full of the world. So breathing in and out naturally, having left the world behind us, outside the building, at some distance, far away. We're here now, in this moment, and we pick up this moment as it emerges, as it approaches us, as it reveals itself to us, in an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of pure presence, an attitude of receptivity. That requires a bit of fine-tuning. And notice what is going on in the mind and let it go. Just let it be and come back to the breath wherever it appears. We're not required to breathe at a particular place. The Buddha doesn't give location necessarily as a required point. But the most obvious places are at the tip of your nostrils or at your belly or in the area around the sternum, solar plexus. But you can also extend your breath so that it's a full body breath. Your whole body becomes like a lung. You breathe in and out into the space around the body. And stick to one area. Try it out. Commit yourself at least for today to breathe in and out, to observe that process in the same way. Nostrils, belly, solar plexus, full body. Do not breathe from your head. That means just by thinking. But instead, step out of the thought mode and into the realm of feeling the breath. And sometimes we have to push that reset button really hard because we're so caught up in our thoughts. And really, as we've left the world behind us, leave the thoughts behind, in the background. They're behind us. Let them fall over the precipice behind. And in the foreground, in the forefront of our consciousness, at the cusp of the battlefield with the defilements, is our attention to the feeling tone of the breath, breathing in and breathing out, and notice the effort being made to stay present. This also has to be given priority. Are we really here? Are we already thinking about the future, wondering about the past? How did I get here? Why did I come here? What's going to happen next? What's the plan for tonight? Turn all that off. The cell phones are off. The agendas are blank. The slate is clean. The mind is ready. We dive into the breath. D-I-V-E. Diving into the breath formation, noticing the breath from the beginning to the middle to the ending, so that our attention on the breath is continuous. We're not leaving any portion out. We don't get all excited when we find the breath and then trash it the next minute. We just stay completely present for every nuance of the breath. Uninterrupted attention. So you may notice the in-breath merging into the out-breath as it does. Don't chop it up. Just let it come and go naturally. It knows very well what to do. We've never ever, unless we've been sick, usually have never had to tell ourselves how to breathe. We've known this from the moment we were born. We've been breathing. So engaging in that breath, and now that we've given ourselves this good effort to breathe, we let the breath do itself. It knows exactly how to enter, how to pass away. In breathing, out breathing. We ride the breath. And treat the breath just like a flow experience, an inflow and outflow. Not exaggerating any part of it, just receiving it, witnessing it. We're bearing witness. Don't add any opinion. It's a nice breath. It's a great breath. It's boring. It's tired. Just restraining that opinionating mind and letting the breath speak. Exactly as it is, we receive it. Neither liking or disliking. Is there any gap between the in-breath and the out-breath? We notice that. Be aware of the gap. And then where is the mind in that millisecond? Are we present? Can we notice gap? Is it short or long? Is it blank and empty? or is it scary? Uncertain. And we continue with the next breath, inflow, outflow. The breath, just like the teaching, is beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end, but not because of our wanting it to be beautiful, but because it is so precious. This is our life, this breath. We are in the boat of the breath. We are able to be present and mindful because we have this ability to oxygenate the body. And that is the beauty of this teaching. We have the ability to pay attention to our own being. And eventually, we will pay attention to attention itself. But first, we become agile with paying attention to the breath. After some time, we might get tired of paying attention to it. So then we apply more effort, more interest. We revitalize, realign our attention with this breathing process, not allowing or restraining the mind from wandering away into diffuse, distracted states. Just focusing as you would your camera. Don't rely on automatic focus. Use the manual focus. We're practicing. We're developing a skill, the skill to be present for one thing only, in one particular way, present moment awareness of the breath, the body of the breath. And just sail with that for a few moments. Keep adjusting as you need to. Keep turning away from thought, giving your full attention, wholehearted, undivided, completely confident in this process of breathing, as if this is the only breath. Therefore, it is so precious. This is all we have. This one breath, this one moment, and then another arrives, and then another. But it is uncertain. So we don't lose interest in case there isn't another. We're fully here, devoted to the breath. You may experience the habit mind, that muscle of the mind called thinking, getting restless there, agitating. Look at me, listen to this. But we disregard it. We preserve and reserve our regard for the breath entirely, 100%. We disregard thinking. We keep our eyes on the wheel of the practice, driving our Dhamma vehicle, not to take our eyes off the wheel, even for a moment. We might crash. This is a life-preserving attitude. Stay with the breath. Notice the quality of the effort being made to be present. Is it a continuous effort? Is it hot and cold, on and off, vacillating, trying to sneak a little break here and there? No. Just like training a puppy dog, we have to keep pulling on the leash and encouraging it, directing the mind back to the breath, bringing mindfulness to the breath, quality of sati. Single-pointedness, non-distractedness, only pointing towards the breath. And we keep examining the effort. So we keep the on button on, the switch on. We're seeing, once we're mindful of the breath, we can actually see it. We know it, we taste it, we feel it, we experience it. It's not conceptual. It's a visceral experience. And eventually, that all those forces trying to pull us away from the breath, they give up. They fade away. And we settle down into breathing. We start to notice more and more about the experience of the breath, rather than just the effort to be present. So what is this breath? Staying with it, facing it, it's in our face, becomes facial, a fascia, like a complete internalized experience, held, known, digested, understood. And the mental formations also become quiet. Little bit by bit, they quieten. They surrender. They bow to the moment. So our ability to attend to the breathing as a full-bodied experience turns into a stilling, a bowing, a being with, a complete commitment. In that way we can be, attend to, with the attention. We're in it, not apart from it. And we come to attention, paying attention, come to attention. This is a kind of military term. Be at attention. We're saluting the breath, but it's completely non-military. We're honoring it. We're pacifying it. It's just the opposite of war. We enter into a completely empty field, a complete stilling of mental formations. This is coming to attention, stopping. Here and now, present moment awareness. We wake up, stand up, we're here, we've arrived for a moment, and repeat that again and again. That's it. That's the project. It's very slippery. We do it for a moment and then it slides away. And we have to engage it, return, restore, bring back. We can never actually repeat any moment, but we can restore the way of being to the next new moment. Because we've learned how to win back the boundaries, the borders of this pure presence in the heart. So we just continue that opening, understanding, being with, seeing, feeling, knowing, illuminating the mind with this attention. By and by, in that pure space of present moment awareness, we begin to see in a way that is discerning. Penetrating beyond the veil of ordinary understanding. We see the true nature of this process, the breath process, and the knowing of the breath process. This is the inside face, the face of truth, filling the mind as mindfulness becomes perfected. In a moment, there will be the sound of a bell. I'll very respectfully turn this attention from inward to the breath, to this new object, the sound, the ringing tone of the bell. And then quietly, mindfully emerge from this session. We make the sign of peace. Peace.